And it may not be in America, but the Word of God is precious over in third world countries. I heard Jeff mention about, you know, we've got, you know, Liberty Gather. Nobody, as far as I know, is going to come through that door with an AK-47. As far as I know, y'all not see me beheaded right here in front of you by some guy that thinks Muhammad and Allah's greater than my God. I don't foresee that happening. If it does, it'll have to pick it up by one of my ears. I ain't got no hair left. But we desire your prayers this morning. I heard a lot of people talk about being sick. Let me just say this to you. If you want to keep people from getting sick in your home, go home, take an onion, cut it in half, lay it out on the table. That's all you got to do. When they had the Black Plague in Europe, the only people that lived, everybody else died, was people that had an onion on the table. It'll kill every German house. Everybody else died. The only one that survived the Black Plague was people that had an onion on the table cut. It'll kill every germ in the house. Simple. Take an onion, cut it in half, by no means eat it, because all the germs will be in that onion. It'll actually turn black. That won't cost you nothing, but it'll make your house a whole lot safer. Keep your family from getting sick. Now, I'm going to be preaching today, and I don't know how in the world. I'm just going to have to hit the ground running, I guess. I will be preaching out of Matthew chapter 13, but I want to start my reading, and you don't have to turn here. I'll just read this one verse, Leviticus chapter 19. And this is a rough message. I desire your prayers. This probably not be preached very much at all anywhere, and you'll get it here in a minute here. Leviticus chapter 19, I'll be reading part of one verse. And I will end up in Matthew chapter 13. And I just say to you, just go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 13. We'll probably be better off that you did that. But God says here in Leviticus chapter 19, I'm going to go read part of this verse. "Ye shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed." We're going to stop our reading right there. Now I'm going to preach today, subject rough. I don't look forward to preaching, especially in this matter. It's just needful. But I'm preaching today on the homosexual agenda. Now, it's not controversial. As a matter of fact, the reason it's going on is because there's not much preaching against it. And I desire your prayers. Earnestly, I desire you pray with me. Lord, we thank you, Lord, to know that Paul said at his first answer, he said none stood with him. He said, "Nevertheless, the Lord stood with him, and he's delivered out of the mouth of the lion." We know, Lord, this matter in great detail. We know, Lord, why it exists today. And I pray, God, you'll help me today to use great plainness of speech. The Bible said that the righteous are bold as a lion. And I pray for that, Lord, here this morning. Give my voice, I pray, like a trumpet, Lord, to thunder out the truth of thy word. We'll give you all the praise and glory for anything said or done. And Lord, I know that you're no respecter of persons. And you tell us not to be, and Lord, we still struggle with it, but help me today. I pray to preach this word today, Lord, even to my own self as much as those that are here. And in Jesus' name we ask your help. Amen. Now the homosexual agenda, I just want you to know they have a plan. And I'll get to it here in a minute. I'm going to chase a rabbit or two here in just a minute here. They have a precise plan. Very precise. You'll get with me here in a minute. This has not just happened. It's been skillfully planned. Matter of fact, you can read about a little bit of it there in Jude. It's only one chapter. Verse number 4 talks about certain men crept in unawares, and they turned the grace of our God into lasciviousness. You look up that word lasciviousness, and it means lewd acts, perversion. And that's why we got a Bible. And thank God for it. Amen. I'll tell you right now, brother, about this Bible. You're in darkness. This Bible is light. It brings darkness into light and exposes it for what it really is. But this plan that they have in this homosexual agenda, it depends upon your ignorance. You have to be a game player, you actually have to be ignorant. Now don't look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. We just had an election last year, November the 8th, 2016, and one of the candidates said this: I'm depending upon the unlearned and the ignorant to get elected. I never heard such a statement. A candidate said, I'm depending upon the unlearned and the ignorant to get elected. That's to our shame. Now, I'm not trying to get political here. No one's eating it. It's kind of like religion. You can get muddy quick. But I want you to stay with me, please, in this message. Please, I'm going to give you some facts. Now, I know fake news. I'm going to give you some facts of how we've arrived where we're at today. They have a plan. Their plan includes our ignorance. The Bible talked about Cain being of that wicked one. 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. If he was, how did he? How did he become of that ignorant one? How did Cain, the firstborn of Adam and Eve, how did he become of that ignorant one? The Bible tells us plainly that Adam wasn't deceived in the transgression. So how did Cain become of that wicked one? Now we know Eve had a conversation with the serpent. He's more subtile than any beast of the field. And in the very first verse of Genesis chapter 1, the seed of doubt is sown. I want you to get that. God said, don't sow a mingled seed in Leviticus 19:19. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, the seed of doubt is sown. You don't have to. Just listen to me. That serpent said, yea, have God said. There's a question. That's a doubtful dissemination brought by a serpent that beguiled Eve. She said, the serpent beguiled me. And the Bible says, lest any be beguiled like Eve of the serpent there in 2 Corinthians, I believe, chapter 11, verse 3. Talking about the simplicity of Christ. I don't want to go there. I'm going to try my best. It's a rough message. How did Cain become of that wicked one? I'll tell you right now, it had something to do with that conversation that Eve had with that wicked one. I get an amen there? Hey, it's a serious message. You come up here and try it. That seed of doubt. Notice that seed of change. Look at this. Well, let me get over here. I don't want to get too muddy here myself. I want to let God say what He said and keep my words few and His words many. But that seed of change, the serpent told told Eve, he said, you shall not surely die. God had said, the day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. He caused the seed of doubt in verse 1. Yeah, God said. He called a change. Ye shall not surely die in what God said. He sowed two seeds there. One of doubt, one of change. Then notice this here. A seed of lying. Verse number 5. For God doeth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And you look at verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave to her husband also with her, and he did eat. Three seeds sown right there by the serpent, and it made their firstborn child be of that wicked one. What did he do? He killed his brother. Why did he kill him? Because his brother's works was righteous, his was evil. But anyway, understand this about the mingled seed. If you have any doubt about it, Jacob was in charge of Laban's cattle. You guys are full of cows. He altered how them cows gave birth. You know what I mean? Remember, he put the poplar sticks and stripped the bark off of them, put them right there where the cattle come down to drink water, and all of a sudden the cows now are giving birth to mean-streaked and striped cattle. And he robbed his father-in-law of his cattle. Don't tell me that it doesn't make a difference in the way the seed is sown. That's Genesis chapter 30, verse 37 through 42. All of Laban's cattle became Jacob's. Now, God changes not. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. His word changes not. Psalms 119, verse 89. He settled in the heavens. He commanded to 1,000 generations. Psalms 105, verse 8. Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21 said, "How long halt you between two opinions?" James chapter 1, verse 8 says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Now here's the problem. Well, let me get with a plan. I'll get back to the problem here in a minute. Okay, here's the problem and the plan. In Matthew chapter 13 that I told you to go to, we'll start our reading, I believe it's verse 24. Matthew chapter 13. The Lord's going to teach us something here this morning, if you'll bear with me here just a minute. Now, the Lord is putting forth a parable here. It's a mystery. And if you got a King James Scofield Bible like I do, over top of the heading of verse 21, it talks about the mystery of the tares among the wheat. And he says, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also." Note that. "So the servants of the household came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Will thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them." This is a very important verse. You young people, listen to me this morning. Look at Brother Eddie. Listen to this. The Lord says, "Let both grow together until the harvest." That's the mercy, long-suffering love of God. Boy, you need to listen this morning. "Let both grow together until the harvest." We'll stop right there just a minute. Now, here's why I said they had a plan. In 1963, some bonehead theologian, scientist, so-called falsely, decided that the Bible was not needed no more in the public curriculum. Ain't it amazing how smart man is? So they made the decision to remove it. Now it wasn't removed in 1963, but the decision was made to take the Bible out of the schools in 1963. Now, the Bible is the good seed that's mentioned in Luke. The Word of God is the good seed. It needs to be planted into the minds. The Bible says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart thereof." So when you take the good seed out, I'll get to what they did. I'm trying to let you digest a little bit of this here in a minute. The good seed has been taken out. Now you listen to this public speech. This speech, this is fact. This speech was given February the 15th, 1987. The homosexual said on public TV, and it's a good thing they didn't say it to my face. With a finger in the camera, we shall sodomize your sons. Your emblems of your feeble masculinity. We shall seduce them in your schools, in your locker rooms, in your showers. Your sons shall become our minions and do our bidding. You listen real good to what this guy said here. They shall be recast in our image and adore us. Now the Bible said in Matthew chapter 19 that in the beginning God made them male and female. No gender identity issues at all. No gender fluid. No problem knowing which bathroom to go to. He made them right. But there's an enemy down here. This enemy's been around a long time. He's a liar and the father of it. So, in this effort that they have a plan, that speech was made in 1987. In 1989, a book was introduced in your public schools without your consent or knowledge. That book's called Heather Has Two Mommies. Is that good seed? Okay, you just remember what I told you about. They said they're going to recast your children. So we got Heather's got two mommies. 1989, they made their speech. 1987. 1997, now we got a book, Daddy's Roommate. See this sinking in yet? This is in your public schools. I'm not done. I'm just getting started here. Then you come out with a book, My Princess Boy, 2009. Then in 2010, you've got the book, 10,000 Dresses, where a boy named Bailey's got a gender identity problem. He's trying to find the dress that fits him, that fits his personality, because he's been recast. He's been affected by this seed I'm talking about, sowing the good seed. Paul said about Timothy, he said, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. That's missing. Boy, we better invest in the minds of our young people. Their minds is under attack. The only hope they've got is right here. This is it. This is the only hope they've got. Now you that are men, listen, I don't know about you, but it makes my blood boil. Let me bring it home. I don't want to mention this on this live recording. My pastor showed me a picture on his phone. And he said, you know who that is? I can't name no names. But I said, a certain girl? He said, no. He said, I wished it was a girl. He said, that's a boy. I knew this boy. I know him. We're talking about eyeshadow, lipstick, fingernails painted, dress on, long hair. Oh, it hurt. It hurt. It hurt when I seen that picture. It made me more determined than ever to preach. This is the second time I preached this message. Now, I've never preached very many messages but one time. But in this case, I'm going to take this message everywhere I can go. I want to make sure that I do a good job of pulling back the veneer of what's going on in America. Now, I'm going to tell you something, buddy. Our schools are nothing but indoctrination, cesspools. This wickedness that the devil sowed in the mind of Eve has continued up to our day. It's plaguing the minds of our youth. You send your children to school, we made a mistake. We said it would be all right for the government to teach our children about sex education. They need to get that mess out of there. Teach these children how to read, write, do arithmetic, and let us as parents teach them how to reproduce. Somebody would say amen right there. Amen. Amen. Who said that? Praise God. I'll tell you anything I can get. If you want to say that amen, praise God. Now I'm telling you, buddy, this is a war. I'm going to tell you the casualties are great. Now, some of you in here know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you got somebody in your family that's been affected by this. But I want you to know we can't let down our guard. They have a plan. We have one too. Elementary students in the classrooms now, I'm talking about toddlers, elementary students. They're given over 70 different sexual identities to choose from. At that age, they don't, my granddaughter, she's 12. Last year she said, "Pop, I don't like boys, I got cooties." This year she got a boyfriend. I mean, that's just the way it is. And she told me boys had cooties. I said, "Stay with it, honey, sounds good to me." Now this year she's got a boyfriend. I'm sitting there thinking, wait on it. But I'm just glad she's interested in boys. I worked at Danner for 5 years. I went in the foreman's office one time and everybody's jumping over tables and jumping over filing cabinets. I come in there and they're all red-faced. And my foreman, his name's Rodney Pruitt. He said, "Well, they all know there's a preacher." I didn't make no, I didn't beat my drum real loud, but I beat enough I wanted to know I was a preacher. And they all respected that. I tried to respect them. I was just like them before I got saved. And I tried to find some kind of common ground I could work with. But I come in there and they're all over hiding and they're all red-faced. And Rodney said, "Eddie," said, "they's in here looking at a magazine they shouldn't have been looking at when you came in here, and you come in here and they all jumped over there trying to hide." And he told me about that magazine. I said, "Well, praise God." He said, "You mean to tell me you're going to say praise God over that?" I said, "Yeah, that's better than looking at naked men." I mean, the damage was already there. They had got caught. Paul said, "Being crafty, I caught you with guile." Those things done in secret, buddy, here or there, they're going to be found out. I'm going to tell you right now, Moses told that tribe, "Be sure of this, your sin will find you out." There's only one thing to do with sin. Bring it up here, confess it, get it under the blood, get forgiven, and go and sin no more. That's the only thing you do with sin. But sin's like a serpent. It'll bite you. And the Bible said it'll bite you like an adder. It'll sting. I'm telling you, buddy, bite you like a serpent and sting like an adder. Amen. I'm sorry about that, but I'm roughing a cob anyway. I'll sit there right there. Those 70 different sexual identities are offered to elementary children to choose which one they identify with. You want to know why gender has now become fluid? Well, I'll tell you why. It's crept in to your public schools. That's why. Now, we did make a mistake. We allowed the government to teach our children about sexual education in the public schools, and I say get it out of our schools and let the parents teach the children. And we need to pray for them. No wonder they don't know which bathroom to use. Well, in Romans chapter number 1, verse 25, it talks about that they changed the truth of God into a lie. And notice this. They worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. Now, there's a lot of rebellion involved in this sexual sin of homosexuality. A lot of rebellion in it. I mean, old Frank Sinatra wrote the song, "And I Did It My Way." Well, there's a price for that. The Bible said the way of transgressors is hard. He that being often reproved, hardened his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed. That without remedy, you know, it makes your ears ring when you hear about what happened to someone. You think, wonder what they done. Let me tell you something, buddy. You better be careful when it comes to be. The Bible says, I believe it's Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1. "Woe to the rebellious children that take counsel, but not of me, that they may add sin to sin." You better be careful, buddy. You better be careful what you call counsel. You better be careful when you question the Word of God. When you say, "I'll do this or I'll do that." You remember what God said to that man there in Luke chapter number 12? He said, "I'll tear down my barns, build bigger." And God come to him that night and said, "You're a fool. This night, your soul is going to be required of you." He listens, preacher, this morning, whether you like me or not, I don't care. If I rock your boat, it's not my fault, yours. Something wrong. You better be careful. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Marriage is honorable and all. It's got God's blessing on it. Marriage is honorable and all. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. That's the whole purpose for male and females to get married, to be fruitful, raise a family, to love them, try to teach them right, try to help them do right. It might break your heart. Invest in them. Tell them right. I was telling Jeff back there in the Sunday school class this morning, God said this about Abraham in Genesis chapter 18. He said, I know him. He'll teach his children and his children's children. Can God say that about you, fathers? Pass it down. Somebody invested in you. Let's not be the generation that drops the ball. Let's pass it down. Let's overthrow this madness that's going on in our youth today. Amen. They change the truth of God into a lie. They worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. Buddy, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it talks about the Bible being for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We've not got an excuse. Now, it'd be good if I could say, it was that serpent. It'd be good if I could say, that woman. But when you ain't got no excuse, the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? There's no escape. There's no excuse. Romans chapter 3 mentioned that all the world's guilty. We don't have an excuse. We got instruction. Sometimes you just need to get the instruction book out and read up on it. In our Sunday school class this morning, Brother Jeff done a good job teaching there. It was in St. John chapter number 6. And you know what you got to do? Get the instruction manual out and read it. We got the instruction book right here. We got what thus saith the Lord. Now, if we didn't have this, someone said one time that Sodom had no Bible. They had Lot. That righteous man dwelling among them, he didn't partake of their evil deeds. He vexed his soul from day to day with their filthy conversation. But they had a Bible in Lot. There was some light down there. They might have rejected it, but there was some down there. But this thing's been going on a long time. It was going on before the flood. I can prove it. It made it through the flood. I can prove it. It was going on before the fire fell in Sodom. I can prove it. It made it through the fire. I can prove it. And it's in our day. And I know the cure for it right here. I know if we could put this back in the school, well, brother, it won't do no good. Well, let's let God make that decision. You know, when you take God out of the equation, well, I'm like you, I'm ready to go jump off a cliff. But the Bible says, hope thou in God. In Psalms chapter 40, it says it twice. Look, when all the hope is gone, when they say there's no help, you can look to Him. The psalmist said, I'll look to the hills which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. I know I'm preaching loud, I can't help it. Sorry about that. I've been an old street preacher for about 10 years. I thundered out up on the public square there in Glasgow. I guess I'm just old leather lung loud. I can't help it. People have been giving you a finger and revving motors up, threatening to come back with a shotgun. I said, bring it on, buddy. Don't fret me with heaven. I'll wait on you. It ain't for the faint-hearted. If you ain't real, don't go up there. We've got an epidemic going on in our young people today. My pastor showed me that picture. I wish I could elaborate on it, but really I can't. I'd like to. I'll talk about it off the mic, but I ain't going to put it on the mic because I love the individual too much that's affected by this. So I won't put it on the mic. But I'll be glad to talk to you about it after that. But I'm telling you, you're being attacked in your public schools. They've become nothing but indoctrination pools. You send your child to the public school, and little Johnny becomes a Susie, and little Susie becomes a Johnny. How's it work, Brother Eddie? Well, let's get back to Matthew chapter 13. Let's get back. You listen. This is serious. This is about as serious as it gets. Matthew chapter 13. The Lord here, He goes a little bit further. He says in verse 38, the tares are the children. Remember what Cain was? Remember, Cain was of that wicked one, 1 John chapter 3. Verse 12. Listen, verse 38. The tares are the children of the wicked one. How did they become that? Because of the seed that was sown. The enemy that sowed them, verse 39, is the devil. Somehow or another, the devil made it into our schools. Somehow or another, we threw God out. Mention the name Jesus in your public schools. Matter of fact, I heard on the radio on the way up here that some teacher took upon themselves to read the Bible in the public classroom and lost their job, lost their retirement, lost everything. But at least they tried. Amen. I sound like I'm in the wrong spirit. I can't help it. I love children. I know what's going on. There's nothing I like about this, but it's going on. It's going on right now. We need to repair the altars. We need to build up the bulwarks. We need to start planning and investing in the minds of our children and somehow overthrow this thing. Don't depend upon your government. They're what caused this problem. We should never allow them. The enemy that sowed these seeds is the devil. Look at verse 40 in Matthew chapter 13. Therefore the tares are gathered. Now look over here in verse 30. I want you to understand this. When the angels come in the last days, we're close to the last days. Now I want you to know, if you've been affected by this, God loves you. I don't care what you've done. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18. God says, come. Come now. God's invitation is an urgent one. He didn't just say come. He said, come now, saith the Lord, and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I'll make them as wool. But you got to come. He's got the cure. I still remember that day I had that past blue ribbon in my hand. I wanted to drink it all one drink. And it was upon that day right there that God started to show me that He was sufficient. Jehovah Jireh. And as much as I wanted that tall boy past blue ribbon and was going to drink it all in one drink, I couldn't pull it to my mouth. It scared me and confused me at the same time. I don't even know how to explain the emotions that went through my mind. I'm sitting there thinking, what's going on? I want that thing. And God spoke to me in that moment of confusion and fear. And I had prayed that night before. I'm saved. I'm an alcoholic. I'm saved. And I just can't quit. I'm trying to. I tried to even compromise on it. I talked to my wife. I said, honey, I said, I'm saved now. I said, what do you think about me drinking after I'm saved? She said, maybe one every now and then, but not the way you drink. No, I don't think that'd be right. I didn't like that. I went and talked to my dad's brother. He's a deacon in a church up in Louisville, Benny. I said, Uncle Benny, I said, I'm drinking. I'm saved. What do you think about that? He said, well, Eddie, the Bible said not to take nothing into your body. It causes harm. And he said, I believed if you drunk and it caused you to harm yourself or someone else, he said, I believe that'd be wrong. I didn't like what he said neither. I went and talked to my pastor. You know, it seemed like God's always the last one we go to, you know. I went and talked to my pastor. I said, hey, I'm drinking out of him. I'm saved. What do I need to do? He said, I don't think it's right, Brother Eddie, bringing reproach upon Christ from all your testimony. I didn't like what he said. But that night before I went to bed, don't do that, boys. It's Brother Eddie. That night before I went to bed, I knelt down and I prayed a little prayer about all I can do boys back there. And I said, Lord, I've asked everybody but you. And I don't even know how to ask you. But I said, Lord, I'm saved now. I'm still drinking. I don't want to. I can't quit. But I remember in the simplicity of this prayer, I remember saying, Lord, could you not just answer my prayer, but I said, could you answer in a way I know it's you? And I don't know what about y'all when y'all pray, but in my mind, I thought, I'm like layman. I thought, you know, this prophet's going to come out and lay hands on me. But God sent a servant out there and told him to go dip in Jordan 7 times. But I had that same mentality. I thought that night, I thought God will come visit me tonight in my dreams. And me and God will walk down the beach and we'll talk about this. And that was my conception of this prayer because I knew God heard me. I don't know how to explain that, but I knew God heard me. And in my mind, I thought, me and God will talk about this in my dreams. I like to never fall asleep that night. For the anticipation of having a conversation with God about this matter of me drinking. I woke up the next morning, young lady, and I was terribly disappointed. I didn't know much of anything anyway, but I was terribly disappointed that God had not come that night and spoke with me. And I made the mistake of thinking this, and this is truth. I thought, well, the needs of the world are great. God must have been busy last night. I'll pray about it again tonight. I mean, I didn't give up, but I had a misconception of how God was going to answer this prayer. And I went out to mow our yard, and it wasn't cold like it is out there. It was hot. And I'm out there on that lawnmower, and I'm getting hot, and I have to admit, I got obsessed wanting to get off that lawnmower, run in my house, and grab one of them tall boy past blue ribbons and drink it all in one drink. Now, I'm just going to be blunt here. I forgot all about praying. I forgot all about being saved. The only thing on my mind was get to that house, get to that refrigerator, and if someone stood between me and it, I mean, I have to admit, I probably tore them in half. I was completely out of control. And I opened that refrigerator door up, I got that big tall boy past me ribbon out, I jerked that top off that thing, and I started down the hall of our house, and I started to drink, and I couldn't put it in my mouth, and like I said, it scared me, it confused me. I'm sitting there thinking, what the heck's going on? And right in the middle of that confusion and fear, I remember these still small words. This is all God said. All He said, show me in a way I can know it's You. Oh, boy, was that a welcomed. Visitation to me. I knew then that God had heard my prayer. I knew then that He had chosen not to answer my prayer like I thought He would. But He done more than keep me pulling out my mouth. He cut that cord that had me connected to that can. How you know, Brother Eddie? Well, it's been 30 years. But you know what the amazing thing was? I knew right then, I knew I'd never drink another. I knew right then. That's amazing. And with that arm still out stretched, I went to the kitchen sink. I poured that beer down that sink. Good place for that septic stuff anyway. And I went in there with my loving wife. Now, we've been married 42 years, but we hadn't been married but 13 years at this time. Now, I went in there with my loving wife, and I said, honey, if you don't care, go pour everything in that refrigerator down that sink. That room exploded. I don't even think I even got all of the sentence out. I mean, throw rugs went everywhere, furniture turned over. That was done before I got the sentence out of my mouth. She made a short work of that. Oh, the blessing has been. You can't put a price on the blessings of God. Amen. I know everybody said, well, we'll just see. See how long before He falls off the wagon. Well, like I said, it's been 30 years. I'm 63 now. I'm a year older since the last time I was here. If the Lord be willing, I do fulfill that 6 score and 10, 70, or by strength 4 score. You just check up though, Brother Eddie, and I'll show you that what God does, you can't take away, you can't add to it. I mean, this is the Lord's doing, marvelous minds. I may not have understood it, but I can tell you one thing. I still remember that moment when He cut that and set me free. This captive to that can was set free. Now, if you're somehow connected in any way to what I preached about this morning, I want you to know the same God that said, come now, let us reason together. He gives you an invitation just like He did me. He said, let's talk about it. I can fix it. You know that woman that had that issue of blood, what she did? She went to many physicians, suffered many things, spent all she had. She grew nothing better, rather worse. Would have been better if she just went to Jesus first. Would have been better. That's what we need to learn to do. We need to go to Jesus first. Now, it would have been better if I had, but I didn't know. I went to my wife, I went to my uncle, I went to my pastor. Finally, I went to God and said, hey, I need some help. Oh, He's a very present help in trouble. Psalms 46, verse 1. He's your refuge and strength. Oh, listen, He does all things well. Oh, listen, He's still doing miracles. He's still saving lost souls. He's still opening blinded eyes. He's still unstopping deaf ears. He's still healing the cripple. He's still cleansing the leper. Oh, yeah! He's still doing it. This has got a good ending here. I'm telling you, Jesus said about those two tares, He said, let both grow up together. The long-suffering mercy and love of God says, let them grow up. Give them every chance. But notice, verse 30, there's a day coming. They're going to be gathered. You boys back in the back, you listen to old Brother Eddie. They're going to be gathered. They're going to be cut down. They're going to be bundled up. They're going to be thrown in the fire. It don't have to be that way. Right now, the long-suffering of God is extended right now. His mercy is multiplied. His grace is given. He says, come unto me. But if it does come down to that, you look at verse 42. They'll cast him into the furnace of fire. There'll be wailing, gnashing of teeth. You'll remember old Brother Eddie done the best he could. You'll remember the old preacher up here, loud, thundering out. God loves you. He may not love his sin, but He loves a sinner. He loves a sinner enough to give him every opportunity. He said, let both grow together. Let the tares grow up with the wheat. Don't take them out. Let them grow up. Give them every opportunity. The Bible said about Jezebel in Revelation chapter 2, verse 21. God said He gave her space to repent. He said, but she repented not. God says, let them grow. Give them every chance. If it goes that far, no hope, no help, only hell for eternity. You know, God, He told us it'd be like Sodom and Gomorrah before He returns. Luke 17, verse 28 through 30. He made an example out of Sodom's mistake. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, and Jude, verse number 7. Talked about them going after strange flesh. You know, God, He's pretty gracious. The way He words things, you don't really... It's not like the way old Brother Eddie says them. He says what He says in love. The Bible talks about speaking the truth in love. Even in the hard places in the Bible, you can see God's love. Old Brother Eddie was on his way to hell, and I'd have made it. We was talking in Sunday school class this morning. We was talking about God, and I said, you know, you can't even get lost without the help of God. God's only one can get you lost, but He won't leave you lost. He'll say, come, let's fix it. Let me help you. I'll fix it. I'll forgive you. I'll save you. I'll give you eternal life. But He also said, John 5, verse 40, He said, you. Will not come to me. That's the problem. You will not come to me that you may have life. Listen, this problem is real. How many believes it's real? Yeah. You've seen the fruit of it, ain't you? You see it on TV? You see them in rainbow flags? You seen them paint your White House rainbow colored? There's a reason for that. We're just about to the end. That made me mad. How dare Him make my White House rainbow colored? I should have had a say in that. It's my house much as anybody's. But He better be glad He didn't come out there and put that on my house. We'd have there'd been some hide missing. Hey man, I'll tell you right now, buddy. I ain't got no lace on my underwear. And there never will be. Feminism is It's like that threat that homosexual made. Surrendering our country. We need some men. It'll be real men. They'll stand for what's right. They'll stand having done all. They'll stand there with and say that's not right. You know, all through the Bible, you see men that stood and said that's not right. That's wrong. Very few, but there's some in there. They put the finger where the problem was. And we got a problem going on today. If you care enough about young people, you might be saved here this morning, not a problem one. But I hope there's an aching in your heart for these people that have been indoctrinated with this lie straight from hell. It was deliberate. It was planned out. They warned us before they ever done it. How'd they pull it off, Brother Eddie? Well, woe to them, they're in ease in Zion. We didn't pray against it. We didn't resist it. I'm not really sure if we didn't just unlock the door and say, come on in. But if you got any ounce of conviction about you all, any concern at all about our young people today, about the war that's going on within their minds and their members, I invite you to come this morning. Let's pray our nation back. Let's pray about this. Our young people, that's what's at stake. They can't do nothing, old Brother Eddie. It's them little ones. Them little ewe lambs. It's what they want. Like them two young boys sitting back there on the back. I was young one time, young men. The Bible says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days draw nigh, and thou sayest I have no pleasure in him. This is what it looks like at 63. But I used to be just like you. Father, we thank you for the privilege to stand for the Word of God. We've done our best, Lord. Lord, I'm just a messenger boy and a miserable instrument at that for you to use. But I pray, dear Father, God, something said this morning woke someone up. Something said this morning was said in such a way that it could not be denied that there is a cause. David came down to the camp and the Philistines sent their giant Goliath out and he defiled the armies of Israel. And one little lad said, is there not a cause? Would to God we had some like that today. They would say there's a cause. And I pray they would enlist. I know we're supposed to endure hardness, a good soldier of the Lord. I know we're supposed to war good warfare. I know there's no discharge from this war. I know the casualties are mounting up. Lord, help us to do what we can. And Lord, whatever needs to be done right now, we ask you to help us with it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to ask everybody to stand. I don't know how this message went to you. Maybe it made you mad. I don't really care. I'd rather have you mad at me, have God mad at me. He told me to preach this message. I've got to deliver the message of God. But listen, just remember this. This is real. It's going on right now. They're ordaining gays and lesbians in the churches. That is in the category of abomination of desolation. There's a difference between light and dark. There's no gray at all with God. No gray. So let's remember, we've got instructions. Let's remember, we've got a book. We're without excuse. Go ahead, young lady. If anybody needs to come this morning, I want you to know I love you. I'll pray with you if you ask me to. Or I'll let you pray by yourself if you want to. But I hope you do something, what's been said here this morning. I hope you do something besides being a hearer only. I hope you do be a doer of the Word of God. I hope your heart's crushed when you think about little boys and little girls who are being victimized because we've sat back and done nothing for so long. I hope you care enough to come up here and say, Lord, help our young people. Put a shield about them. Put a hedge about them. I pray them out. Two grandchildren, I say, Lord, put a hedge about them. Keep them from this wicked one. Don't let him pollute their minds or their bodies or their health or anything. Keep them safe. You ought to pray for your children. That's what I told Jeff this morning. We're stewards of the manifold grace of God. I'll give a God account one day of how I treated my wife. I'll give God account one day of how I prayed for my son, how I prayed for my daughter. God bless you, brother. You ought to come up here like this brother right here, care enough to bow down and say, Lord, there's a cause. There's something going on. I may not know how to handle it, but I'm asking for help with it. Maybe a young person here this morning, you're confused. God's not the author of that. No, sir. God's never been the author of confusion. God makes it crystal clear. Now, what you do with that crystal clear, that's where the confusion comes in. God bless you, young man. Look at God with some more men like these two right here, up here right now. There's a war going on. Oh, boy, Eddie, I'm just a man. I ain't Superman, no S under this shirt. Just a man, just like you. Man like passion. These kind of messages ain't being preached much in churches today. Hello? Amen. They're needed. Very few got enough boldness to stand up for what I just told you this morning. But I'm going to tell you something. This ain't going to go away. What'll change? When you do something. That's what'll change. When you care enough to say, Lord, like Isaiah chapter 6, God said, who'll go for me? And Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. God said, go. He took off going. He turned around and said, how long shall I go? And God said, till the land be utterly desolate and the city be without inhabitant. Let's keep going for God. There is a cause. God bless this young man. There ought to be others up here. I may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I know the relevance of this message. I know that much. I know God wanted it preached here this morning because I had another one I wanted to preach. And if I had, if I wouldn't have got the blessing of God. God bless you, sir. What about this morning? You need to come this morning? Have you struggled in this matter? You may not have any problem with homosexuality. Maybe you're just having problem with youthful lust. Maybe just he come here and say, Lord, I've made some mistakes. I pray you forgive me. I pray you help me to do right. Get the blessing. Won't you come this morning? Victory's this close. There ought to be more up here. Like I said, I ain't the sharp knife in the door, but I know who told me to preach this message. Paul said, what went the word to you? He said, come to me first. Is there not another needs to come this morning? Is there not another needs to make some kind of do business with God, make something right, some kind of effort? Only you can answer that. Only you can answer that. God already knows. You already know. Who cares about anybody else? I'm going to tell you something, buddy. They're going to cut them down. They're going to bind them up. Throw them in the fire. When's that going to happen, Brother Eddie? God said he gave Jezebel space to repent. When that space runs out, when it runs out, all hope will be then taken away. All help will then be denied. God bless you, young lady. Somebody pray with this young lady, please. Somebody pray with her. You want me to pray with the young lady?
I just need peace in my heart.
Lord, I thank you for this young lady, Lord. We know you're the Prince of Peace. We know, Lord, that you give peace. You said, my peace I give. You said, let not your heart be troubled. You said, if you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And you said, if it were not so, I'd have told you. And Lord, you give real peace. The world offers peace, but it's a false peace. You give us peace that passeth understanding. You give us peace, Lord, in the valley of the shadow of death, that we can walk through it and say, I'll fear not. The Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, I thank you for this young lady. What a beautiful picture, Lord, of what we need to be doing more of. Instead of standing, instead of, waiting, come. Bless her as only you can. Give her oceans of peace. Give her your blessing. Honor her, Lord, with your blessing. In Jesus' name. God bless you, young lady. God bless you. Now, buddy, I'll tell you, this is what church is all about. Right there. We're talking about. That's what it's all about. We all say this, sing that, shout this, do this. That's what it's all about. Young lady come up here, and I don't mean her any harm here, but she said, I just need some peace.